This is Lisa Stone with Parenting Aces, and I'm in the media dining room with Marcia Frost. And I just asked Marcia how to introduce her, because I know her as a tennis journalist, but she does so much more than just tennis. And those of you listening probably recognize her name from articles on tennis recruiting, I hope, because if you haven't read her articles, you need to go there right now and read them, especially the ones on college tennis. But Marcia, thanks so much for talking with us.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
So you have this incredible history in tennis, especially junior and college tennis. You just told me you had the very first tennis website on the internet. And so you've been around a long time. You've seen a lot of stuff, but you're not a tennis player yourself, and your daughter's not a player.
No, I play for fun, but never competitively. I've had some wrist problems, and it's just not worth it for me. The wrist problems kind of go back to gymnastics, but no, never really into tennis. I just fell into the job as editor of college and junior tennis and was reluctant to take it. And Dick Zausner of the Port Washington Tennis Academy brought me to the U.S. Open on my second job interview and said, you will learn about tennis and you will start playing tennis. And he introduced me to Tracy Austin, who always stayed with them when she played the Open. And it happened that she won that year. And I got to see her win and I got the bug.
I would say that's enough to light the bug in anybody. That's amazing. You write a ton about college recruiting. You write a ton about junior tennis. What are some of the things that you see over and over and over again that are good? And what are some of the things you see that are not so good from the tennis parent perspective?
I see a lot of confused parents, especially about the recruiting process. The NCAA student athlete guide is very confusing. Over the years, I've tried to work with some tennis showcases. I've kind of condensed the guides into monthly guides of college planning, which are really inexpensive, and try to keep it easy. And I'm always open for phone calls and letters from parents. I do not do any kind of recruiting service. But I think it's getting a little better. I think parents are starting to ask questions and not wait till their kids are in senior year before they're asking questions. Years ago, that's what I would see. You know, I'd run into these parents and they'd say, okay, my kid's in his senior year and he wants to go to college. What do I do? And I say, back up a couple years and get started.
So now we're starting to see some weird stuff going on, though, with high school graduation dates, people actually postponing the high school graduation date by maybe repeating eighth grade. What's going on with that, and where do you see that headed?
I really don't see it continuing. The NCAA changed the rules so that kids only had 6 months after graduation to go to college, because they were trying to avoid the older kids and the foreign kids who there's some question about eligibility playing. Kids are kind of using that by postponing their graduation day to give themselves a little bit more time, but they're going to run into problems getting into schools. Because schools are going to question, why did you need so long to graduate? And if you can't present your transcripts, or if your transcripts show a lack, they may not get into the school they want.
What do you think about the homeschooling, and I'm going to use the word epidemic, because it seems to be kind of reaching epidemic proportions in this country especially. What are your thoughts about homeschooling and tennis?
Personally, I think homeschooling is terrible. However, I think that schools should make more allowances to allow kids who are playing all sports to do more work at home. So while I don't think a kid should be completely homeschooled, I think a kid should be given some leeway to take some work home and do it on the road and not be penalized for missing school for 2 weeks. Instead, be given the chance to do their schoolwork for that 2 weeks. Part of the problem with homeschooling, maybe the biggest problem with homeschooling, is lack of social interaction. And what's happening is these players are only interacting with their competitors. and they're only friends or competitors, and it's a very narrow relationship.
That's very true, and I it's interesting because you're not the first person who said this to me this week, and I'm starting to see some storylines, you know, with all of you who have been in this world for such a long time. And I, you know, the light bulbs are starting to go off in my head that, you know, maybe we're not on the right track here. I have to ask you about the fact that we're down to zero American men in the singles draw here at the U.S. Open. There's been a ton of talk about what's wrong with U.S. tennis on the boys' side. Another article came out today. What do you think is happening?
Well, I didn't see the article today, but I did see Tim Smizak play last night, and I thought he played phenomenal, as did John Isner, Rajiv Ram, and a lot of the men, the last men standing. I don't think it's a problem you can fix overnight. I think that part of the problem is just putting too many eggs in one basket. You know, Jack Sock comes out. He's a phenomenal player. I can't say enough about Jack Sock because him and Andy Roddick are probably the only ones that I could justify turning pro at 18. But that doesn't mean it's the end all, and that doesn't mean that all the pressure should suddenly go on him. I think we should be developing a group of men, and it takes time. The men, there aren't a lot of 18-year-old pros out there on the men's side. I mean, it takes time to develop the strength to grow and the training to become a great pro. It's a little different with the women, I think. They start younger, but still, most of the women that we're seeing right now, like Jamie Hampton and Allison Riss, Christina McHale, have been out there for years. So I think that college tennis has definitely helped. When you look at John and Kevin Anderson and some of the players and Rajiv that have played college tennis, even the Bryan brothers, for a while, I think they have learned a lot from it. And I think we're seeing, even though we didn't see any American men still in the last round, we saw a lot of American men winning their first couple of matches, which we didn't see for a few years. So I think it's getting there, and we'll see what happens.
So in your opinion, is college tennis, should it be a given, especially on the boys' side?
Yes. I mean, as I said, I think that Jack Sock and Andy Roddick are probably the only two players that I have seen in the last 30 years that were deserving of turning pro at 18. They were big and strong, and even, you know, I mean, Jack's been great, but it still took a few years for them. But most of the players that are doing well now, with the exception of Nadal, who there's one Nadal in a lifetime, started doing well around 25. And having that degree behind you, like John, like Bradley Klon, like Steve Johnson, it's just such a relief. It's such experience having worked with a coach in college. And we've got some great college coaches who have also worked with professionals.
That's so true. I've interviewed several of them, and I mean, it's incredible the resources we have available for our kids. If a parent called you and said, my kid wants to play high-level college tennis. He's a sophomore in high school, so we're starting on time. What's the first step?
Well, the first step is to start researching. You want to get online. You want to look at the rankings. You want to look at the schools and start narrowing down your choice of where you want to go. Where do you want to go in the country? What are you looking for? Are you a highly ranked player who's looking to become a professional in a year or two? You want to look at the schools that are producing professionals out here. Are you a great student? You know, you might want to look at the higher academic schools. If you're not a great student and playing, and I have to stress the point that when I say not a great student, that doesn't mean you're a terrible student. Not everyone. It's very difficult to play college tennis and keep up your studies. So unless you're a really dedicated student, think twice before going to a high academic school and playing college tennis. So you want to start narrowing down that list. And once that list is down, and it may be 10, 15 schools, start emailing the coaches and find out their interest in you. Many of them may have never heard of you. You may be top 20 in the country and they haven't heard of you. But let them know you're interested and let them think about you and know you, where you'll be playing. Keep the dialogue going and start from there.
That's great advice. And so talk about the difference between the kids that are looking at D1 schools versus D2 and D3, because I know you've written about all the levels, including the junior college system. The top players in the country know where they're going. I mean, the coaches know them. The coaches are coming after them. But let's say you've got a player who doesn't play a national schedule. They're ranked decently in their section. They're competitive in their section. How do they know whether a D1 school is the right place to go after, or maybe they should be looking at D2, D3, or even junior college?
Well, a lot of it will have to do with competition and playing time. You might be a D1 player, but you'll be playing number 6 on a lower level school that's not going to get a lot of competition, whereas you can go to D1, D2, or D3 and get a lot more play time and a lot more competition. I would suggest talking to your junior coach, high school tennis coach, because if you're not playing a national schedule, you should definitely be playing high school tennis. And also get in touch with your section, because as far as I know, every section is now running some type of college showcase. We used to run a huge one here in the East at the National Tennis Center, but on all different levels there are college showcases where you'll find D2, D3 coaches, some of the D1 coaches coming to meet the players, and you can get your first look at some of that.
That's great advice. Anything else you want to share with us?
Well, I just started doing a column on stack.com, which will be monthly, on recruiting advice, so you can check that out. And I'm always doing recruiting tips on tennis recruiting. And